Our race through the book of Isaiah, then this week you can read chapters 9 through 12, and you'll be keeping up with where I am. Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, help us to truly see what you have done for us. Let us give thanks to you, our loving God who has saved us. Let you be our strength and our song. Lord, be with my words, may they be true to yours. Help us to turn our thoughts away from the cares of the week to you as our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you might have caught the Syracuse game last night. I think Peter watched it. You might not be a fan. That's okay. The whole sermon won't be about Syracuse. That's all right. But as I was walking back from seeing the game, I was thinking a lot of thoughts, you know. If only they hadn't called that goaltend that wasn't a goaltend. If only they hadn't called that fourth foul on Grant that wasn't a foul. If only Syracuse had been able to make one three-point shot. If only. How many of us live our lives with if only? If only my spouse did what I wanted. If only I would have made a better decision. If only my boss hadn't been such a meanie. If only my wife hadn't been had a mental illness. Then maybe God could use me. If only. If only. If only. As we stand before God on that last great day and he asks why he should allow us to come into his presence. There will be many that will say, well, if only I believed. If only I wasn't so buried in my quest for success. If only I hadn't been so selfish, my eyes might have been open. If only everything had worked out exactly the way that I wanted them to, then maybe I would have turned to you. If only, if only, if only. Do you find yourself saying that? If only. While Isaiah, as he's speaking to God's people, he wants them to get a different perspective. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Have you ever had a tune stuck in your head? I had some favorite songs like You've Got a Friend by James Taylor and things like, you know, they get stuck in your head and you just keep singing them over and over again. Well, some people have that tune of If Only stuck in their head. What Isaiah wants is for us to realize that it needs to be our Lord God who is stuck in our head. He is our strength and our song. He has become our salvation. Isaiah points a beautiful picture of that God and the salvation that he offers in chapters 9 through 12, along with some realistic circumstances that are surrounding Israel and Judah. Israel would have done well to remember that the Lord God was their strength and their shield. As they saw the Philistines and Syria coming against them, as they saw these mighty nations coming against them, it would have done them well to remember that the Lord God was their strength and their song. He would be their salvation. That Lord God would send Assyria in against those two nations. And then it would have been well for the king of Assyria to remember that the Lord God was the true strength and song instead of what he did. As the king of Assyria comes in and he destroys the northern kingdoms and he's just about to come against Judah and Jerusalem, God says, don't get too haughty here. He did though. If we look back at chapter 10, I'd like to just read verses 13 and 14. This is the king of Assyria. For he says, "By the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding, I remove the boundaries of the peoples and plunder their treasures. Like a bull I bring down those who sit on thrones. My hand is found like a nest, the wealth of the peoples. And as one gathers eggs that have been forsaken, so I have gathered all the earth." The king of Assyria is looking at all that he has done. He says, "No one can stand against me. Look at these things that I have done in my strength and in my wisdom." Well, God says, "Wake up." Verses 15 to 19. "Shall the axe boast over him who hews with it? Or the saw magnify itself against him who wields it?" Now, sometimes my saws have sort of snapped up and acted like they were doing something against me, cuts here and there. Maybe an axe, I've had axes fly off the handle and wondered, you know, what they were doing. So, you know, maybe the axe can have some say into the one who is wielding. No. God says to the king of Assyria, "I used you. I'm the one who sent you in because these other nations were arrogant. And what did you do? You became arrogant. You came out against my people, and now you're standing over Jerusalem saying, 'I'm going to go in and conquer it.' No, it's not going to happen." And God sends a plague, and the king of Assyria is sent away. God is the one who protects his people. "Shall the axe boast over him who hews with it, or the saw magnify itself against him who wields it? As if a rod should wield him who lifts it, or as if a staff should lift him who is not wood? Therefore the Lord God of hosts will send wasting sickness among his stout warriors, and under his glory a burning will be kindled like the burning of fire. The light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. The glory of the forest and of the fruitful land, the Lord will destroy both soul and body, and it will be as when a sick man wastes away. The remnant of the trees of his forest will be so few that a child can write them down. Assyria is done away with by the Lord God." But who was Ahaz depending on? Ahaz was depending on this king of Assyria to protect him. And God says, "No. Don't look that way. Don't look in that place." But instead, Ahaz comes and he brings the gods of the Assyrians to replace the Lord God. God is in control. It would do us well to remember that and declare, "The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." God will preserve his remnant. As Isaiah is speaking, he talks about the remnant that God will keep there. God will preserve his remnant and will bring that one that he has promised into the world to save his people from their sins. How? Well, those living in darkness will see a great light. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That part of Isaiah that is so familiar to us is given out in the midst of a people who are wandering away from their God. In a time when people are looking to the nations around them and to the gods of the nations around them. But God will bring his salvation upon his people. He will bring the light into the darkness. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 talk about the coming of the Messiah. Who accomplishes this? The zeal of the Lord of hosts accomplishes this. He brings his Messiah, he brings the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. A son is born that he might save his people from their sins. That's not all Isaiah has to say. Over in chapter 11, he talks about the branch coming in. I'd like to read 1 through 5. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." Now, was Jesse ever a king in Israel? Did Jesse ever have a place in the nation of Israel? No, but who was Jesse's son? David. And Jesus comes in the line of that kingship of David. And what was important about David? Well, we could say, his sin is sort of important because it had an impact on the nation of Israel. But what was most important was that David had a heart for God. And that was the main thing that God looked on David for. He had a heart for God. He knew his God, and he knew the one in whom he needed to place his trust. And although he sinned, he came back. And the Messiah would come in the line of David. He would be a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Now, think of a stump. Do you think of a great tree and things? Well, it was a great tree, wasn't it? God built up the nation of Israel, but now he's had to cut it down because Israel kept going away and away and away. And yet, God takes that stump of Jesse and he brings the Messiah from that. "There will come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with his rod, the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." Here we have a mixture. In chapter 9, we saw the coming of the Messiah. A child is born to us. In the first part of chapter 11, we see the shoot growing out of the stump of Jesse. We see the Messiah coming into the world. And we see how his righteousness will be applied to all those who will trust in him. But it'll go further. Here we see not just the first coming of Christ, but we see that the nation that comes out of him, the church that comes out of him, there will be a second coming as well. And he will finally put to rest all wickedness. He will come with the rod of his mouth, and he will put to rest all wickedness, and the earth will be changed. The wolf shall lie down, shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. There will be a time when all things are put to right. Are you trusting in that one whom God sends? The son that is born to us. The shoot from the stump of Jesse. Are you trusting in him? If you are, then you'll sing the song that Isaiah says in chapter 12. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Now, this echoes the song of Moses. After the people of Israel were taken out of slavery in Egypt, and they came through the Red Sea, God parted the Red Sea, and then he destroyed the Egyptians behind them, and Moses stands on the other side, and he says, and all the people said, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Isaiah echoes those words of Moses. Why? Because he wants this people to see that, as Moses said, that the Lord God is his strength and his song. When God took them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea and would bring them into the Promised Land, he wanted them to look back at that and say, yes, we need to trust in our God. We need to put our hope in the strength of our God alone. We need to look to him. We need to look to him to bring us out of the slavery that we have in sin and bring us into his promised land because of his mercy. God has done the same for us. He plucks us out of that slavery from sin, and he gives us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son that was born to us. He gives us his righteousness, and he brings us into his presence. Trust in him. He rescues us by the sacrifice of his Son, and his strength is what places us where we need to be in order to come into his presence. He should be our strength and our song, for he has become our salvation. Now, it's not just salvation in the ultimate sense, although that is there. We need to have our salvation. We need to be able to stand before God as we're judged and say, God, I bring nothing except what Jesus Christ has done for me. If we're trusting in what Christ has done, then we will pass into eternity with our Lord God. But I don't think it's just salvation in the ultimate sense when we stand before God. And we take great comfort in the fact that he is a God of grace who has loved us enough to send the sacrifice of his Son for our sins. But it's also a salvation from the things that are around us. Our nations of Philistia and Syria, our nations of Assyria that come against us, the troubles that we have in this world. We need to look to God as the God of our salvation in those things as well. Notice chapter 12, verse 3. With joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. With joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. God is there for trusting in him. God is our strength and our song. He has become our salvation, and he will take us through whatever comes to pass in this life as he draws us to himself, as he uses us for his purposes in this world. We need to trust in him and draw with joy from the wells of the water of salvation. Then you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among my peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. another echo of Moses' son. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Instead of, if only, draw from the water, from the wells of salvation. May the Lord God be your strength and your song, because He has become your salvation. Let's pray. O Lord, we do pray that whatever comes to pass in our lives, that we will not be saying, if only, but we'll trust in you as our strength and our song. We'll draw from the salvation that you give to help us through, to keep us going, to use us as we proclaim your majesty, your glory throughout this world. Help us to be your servants, to proclaim your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now sing from Psalm 118, selection C. Let's stand to sing. And I'll worship God with our tithes and offerings. I'll stand for prayer, and then 105A. Lord, as we come before you today, help us to look to you as our strength and our song. For we know that you have become our salvation. You sent Jesus Christ to die upon the cross for our sins. Enable us to trust in you. As we go through our lives, help us not to say, if only, but to say, Lord, use me. To be able to see how you take those things that are around us and use them for your glory. How you use us as your people to spread the good news of your kingdom throughout the world. Enable us to do so as we draw from the salvation that you've given to us. Lord, we pray for those who aren't able to be with us today, any who are sick, for those who are traveling. Lord, remember especially Dan and Abigail. We pray that you'll be with all of them and help to bring them back to us. Be with those who are visiting us today and give them safety as they return to their homes. Lord, enable us to live for you. As we see the nations around us and we see many things happening within our nation that are not in accord with your word, help us to be a witness, to be a light, to be salt, that we might declare your glories to those who are around us. Give us opportunity. Help us to have our eyes open to those opportunities and to use them for your honor and glory. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin that comes through our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will work in our lives by your grace that we might draw closer to you and conform more and more to the image of your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now Psalm 105, Selection A. And now receive His blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.